That's right. Welcome in. It is Smashville Live. We're here at Brew House South in Cool Springs. Welcome in, Chase McCabe, alongside the radio analyst, Hal Gill. Skillsy is in the house. And also Matthias Ekholm and his wife, Ida. They are our guests tonight. So give everybody, or everybody give them a round of applause and welcome them in. How are we?
We are great. Thank good. You. Thanks for having us.
We color coordinated, too.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Yes, it's we good. Are.
Kind of.
Yeah. White sweaters. It's very festive.
I know. It's warm.
Tis the season.
It's nice.
Yeah. Tis the season for sure.
I'm so impressed by this place, actually. So happy to see all the Preds color in here.
Nice.
Makes me happy.
Passion, gold.
Yes.
Yeah, Ida, pull that mic so everybody can hear you out there. So
is that better?
That's much better. There we
perfect.
Go. There we go. So we appreciate you guys being here tonight. I know... it's been crazy scheduling everything, but really appreciate it. And let's start off, Hal, talking about last night. A big game against Tampa Bay and two teams that, you know, are playoff contenders and have been over the last few years. And I know you only face Tampa twice a year, so that makes it difficult. But lately, you guys have had a little bit of a point streak against them. I know you didn't get the win last night, but were able to come away with a point.
Yeah. No, it's they're obviously a great team. They have some highly touted skill, especially offensively. They have had Hedman on the back end and a bunch of other guys that are good. But the game was, I thought it was a good game. I thought the first we were better. I thought the second they were better. And then the third we battle back, get a point going into OT. And then there were some things we could have done better in the overtime. I felt like we had possession of the puck sometimes and gave it up maybe a little bit too easy. Retrieve it a little too easy, I felt like. But, yeah, as a point, maybe a little bit disappointing. We need the wins right now, so we just got to look forward for Saturday.
I know. I'm sure you guys hate like when media folk like me come in and go, well, you guys got the point tonight, so I know that has to help things. Like, yeah, that's not what we were looking for.
Yeah.
But I get it. You know, in the big picture, grand scheme of things, points matter. And you look at both of these teams, and probably not where you want to be in the standings, but still right there. And I guess being in December, that's you're not really looking at the standings so much. You're just trying to improve and get better each night.
Yeah, I guess I think most of the teams that are not in a place where they might want to be right now, they're just talking about St. Louis and last year and what they did being last. I mean, I think it was even after Christmas, maybe somewhere in January. So we're not that far away from playoffs and all that, and we're in there. We just got to make sure we find our way and string wins together. That's the bottom line. We dug ourselves a little bit of a hole. We've been playing better lately, I feel like, and getting some points, as you mentioned. But in the end, it comes down to wins when you got to climb back.
Yeah, I feel like after that game in Carolina, you guys were good, real good. And then you go into Florida, and it was a good game. It just wasn't very exciting. It wasn't, and there's whatever it was, it just wasn't there. And then you came back, and the Tampa game was... last night was exciting. It was a lot going on. There's a lot of events. Like, I'm sitting there calling the game excited the whole time. Did you feel that? And I think that's probably where you guys need to play to be successful. More often than not, your guys are going to win when you can get that excitement built up.
I agree.
Am I right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's a long schedule. It's a long season. Yeah. I mean, 82 games, you can't be amped up for every single game. I mean, you obviously try, but some games are going to be more exciting, as you're saying. And there's different factors for that. It's where we sit in the standings. Obviously, the crowd is a big factor, too.
Florida was not very good. It was a little stale.
It's not as good as it is here. So, obviously,
yeah, sure.
we were excited to be back home again playing. And obviously, a big-time rivalry – big-time opponent with a great team coming into our building. So I agree with you that when we can get those, I mean, it's all about energy. It's all about getting guys going, and it's usually the difference in a game can be just that, what kind of day you're having and what kind of energy you're having. So I big-time agree with it.
And it's so interesting, too, when it comes to, like, looking for that energy. I mean, I've been covering ice hockey for a long time in Swedish media, and I know that's what you're asking the guys and like the players all the time, like, why were you not there tonight? And it's so hard to answer because it's like you try to look for that energy all the time, but it's hard to get that every game, and especially here when you're playing 82 games in a season, regular season. So yeah, it's very interesting to talk about that when it comes to how to get that into.
Because I know you're right there on the edge of your seat rooting for him. You're into the games, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I try to when I... It's hard when I have my son, William, around me because he wants to do every other things as well. But I love to sit and watch the game and really see, like, how are the lines? How are they playing right now? Why did they do that in that line? And why are they doing that? And so it's... I think it's really, really exciting and follow the guys. And I also feel like whatever... Like, what's been going on this season, for me, I just think it's a good thing that they are going from winning and losing, and they have to go through tough times, because I think it's really, really... Or obviously, we've been seeing it before, like, all the top teams who made it into the playoffs last season, all of them, they lost in the first round, so it's like... There's another thing during the regular season compared to when you go into the playoffs. So I think that what is going on right now, they are on the right path. And what I also thought was so good was that when they were against the wall, when they were playing St. Louis and they had lost 7 games in a row and they were so much under the pressure, they won. So they know, this team know that they can win. When they have to win, they can do it.
What matters, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well,
so.
That's, Matias, that's where that experience that you guys talk about a lot, that over the past 3-4 years, that's where that comes into play, because you've experienced a lot of these different things before, and so while it may be different now this season, you can still apply some of that.
Big time. I think in the playoffs, too. I mean, hell, you know, you've been in it. You're going to have games where you feel great and you feel like, just hand us the cup, and then there's going to be next game within a series where you feel like, holy, we're not going to win another game of this. So you got to try to balance the emotions and the emotions of the game and of the regular season. I mean, it's good to go through some tough times at times, and you learn a lot about your group when you're doing that. Obviously, you don't want to make them maybe too long of a segment of bad hockey, but as I'm saying, I think we've played some really good games lately, and we haven't really got a point in those games. So I think... I agree with all of you are saying that adversity is something that you have to go through. It's something you have to deal with, and something that you've got to dig together and then come together as a team and just dig out of it.
Is that where, because we've talked to Peter Laviolette before in this season, and he said, you know, one thing he's tried to do this year is, since you guys are experienced and you have a strong leadership core, is turn a lot of things over to the players and let the players kind of take care of some things in the room. Is there still a bit of a learning process with some of that with you guys, and you're part of the leadership group, you wear a letter on your sweater, that you guys are kind of getting together and going, all right, what do we need to fix? How do we fix this? And doing it as a team.
Yeah, no, I think we all like it. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think a team that has a coach that just goes in and tells this is what we're doing, doesn't listen to the players at all, I don't think that's going to be very successful. And I think Peter's done a great job with that. He always listens to us. If we have, it doesn't matter if it's a play in our systems that we think we need to change, or if there's a morning skate time that we need to change, whatever it is, he's always listening to us, and that gives us the confidence and the trust to deal with different stuff, which we can. And I think that, as you're saying, we have a group of at least 5, 6, 7 players that have been together for a long time now, 5, 6 years, and we know each other. We know we've seen each other's best and we've seen each other's not best, so we can just correct each other and keep ourselves and other players accountable to that.
So we saw Kyle Turris come back from being out of the lineup, and I know I've gone through that, and it's miserable, it's tough. And I want to talk to you, Ada, about, you know, conversation you had with his wife, because I know it's difficult to go through that. But he came back, and he gets a goal and an assist. What was it like to have him back in the lineup and to have success? I mean, ultimately, we saw the video of you guys on the bench all fired up after he scored the game-tying power play goal. What was it like to have him back out there?
I thought
knowing what he's gone through.
I know, and I think I just want to give him big props for how he handled himself during the time, and especially last night. I mean, I thought he was our best player out there. He was involved in both goals. He could have had more than that. I thought he created chances. He really went out there and showed that he belongs on this team. And we were even talking about it last night. I mean, when you get in that position that you find yourself outside the lineup, there's really two options or two decisions you got, or one decision you got to make, but two ways you can go with it. Either you're going to just be negative and thinking you earn to be in a better spot, whatever, or you just put your head down and you work harder. And that's really what I saw out of him. And I thought it was great to see him. He got rewarded big time last night. I mean, I think he really earned it. And yeah, I can't imagine. I haven't been healthy scratched since a few years back now, and I know how it is. It's not fun at all to sit there, but again, great job on him, and kudos to him for staying with it, working hard, and getting back and getting rewarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was fun to see him back on the ice last night. Now, one thing I do want to ask you about, because we haven't hit it yet, is there were two instances in the game last night that were almost the same thing, but two different outcomes. Johansson's hit in the second period where he actually gets ejected, and I believe the NHL has come out today and said that he's got a fine for that. And then you have later on in the game, Chernak almost does the exact same thing and gets a 2-minute. Now, I kind of look at it, and Johansson spoke after the game last night, and I thought he handled himself well and understands that it's a rule. But what did you see from your point of view on both of those plays?
The first place I didn't see. Joey's, all I heard from Pex was that he was, I guess, holding on to the puck and trying to kind of just protect the puck and protect his body position out of it. And that's, I mean, it's a hockey play, but yeah, at the same time, we have rules, and that happened. He seemed like he got his nose elbow, and he got him
pretty good.
Yeah, he got him good, and then
not
sometimes,
intentionally, but
I know sometimes that you just got to deal with the consequences of that. That's the same thing with a high stick. Sometimes it's not intentional, but
right.
I mean, you got to have to take it, and I think he did that, a good job of that. I mean, I heard his comments too. I thought it was spot on. And with the second one, I was actually on the ice. I couldn't really see it very well. I saw it afterwards, and I kind of think it's kind of the same play. I think Joey's could have been a 2, could have been a 5. I thought Chernak's could have been a 2, could have been a 5. So, as you're saying, I think maybe in the end, those were pretty similar, and they should have been maybe the same call. Whether it's 2 2-minute penalties or it's 2 5s, I don't know.
That's my thing. Look, rule's a rule. I get it. But if you're going to call it one way, then you should probably do it the same if you have two different plays.
They're different plays, but what I want to talk about is especially you. I feel like you're so fiery and emotional, and the way you get amped up, and I feel like Yossi was in there, and he was just about to go off on the ref, and I think he was justified. There should have been more of a call on that. And I think he was fighting for the team, and he was emotional about it. But you guys found a way. Right when I was like, oh, it's going to get out of hand and you guys are going to lose control, you dialed it back and then got the power play goal. Do you guys feel like, and I don't know if that would have happened last year. I think you guys, and you in particular, you've let the emotions get the best of you, and you kind of get away from your game. What makes you so great, being an emotional player, can hurt you sometimes. How do you balance that? You know, because I feel like for you,
when the season started, he actually said that he's not going to talk with the referees as much as he did before. And the first game, I actually took a picture of him when he's standing and, like, screaming to the ref. And I was like, what are you doing? You were not supposed to do this season.
When you're so engaged to the game.
Exactly. And I hear what you're saying, too. I just have to add that, too, because I know that Matthias is such a good player when he's on the edge.
Yes.
Like, when you are on the fine line between going over and be like too much too, because then you are in your game. You are the best.
I agree. I think that's the battle I've had all my career, pretty much. I'm an emotional player. I get involved in it big time every night. I can sit 2 minutes before a game and tell myself that I'm not going to punch anyone, I'm not going to hit anyone, I'm not going to talk to the ref. 3 minutes in the game, I'm standing there screaming at everybody. And
Viking
and,
blood.
You know, that's what it is. But I feel like this year I think when I'm talking to the ref, I think I'm nicer. I could be yelling before, and now I feel like I'm calmer with it. I feel like I haven't... I've been better at being just under the line or
on the line
rather than crossing it. And it's a fine... I think Yost did a great job yesterday because he kind of knew that... Even you could see the refs. They were kind of like, oh, maybe we missed this one.
Yeah.
So that's when you know you can maybe go a little harder on them to make them get a call for us later, which also happened because we had another power play after we scored that goal. So once again, that's a fine line because if there's something that maybe doesn't make sense or if it really is a close call, then maybe back off a little bit. But when everyone can see that, I mean, Yost, I think he felt that that should have been a five. I think all of us did. And
Smashville helps out.
Yeah, Smashville helped them to get a
certain
more.
Chant they like to use.
Yeah.
And then you just got to give it to the refs, too. They have a split second to make decisions and all that. So I think it's a good thing that they have that five-minute review thing. But obviously you can't review everything. So sometimes they're going to miss stuff. And we do mistakes out there, and they do mistakes. So that's just the nature of the game.
It is Smashville Live. We're live at Brewhouse South tonight, all brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. We'll have much more coming with Matthias Ekholm and his wife, Ida, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South. Chase McCabe, Hal Gill, Matthias and Ida are here tonight. Got a great crowd on hand. Thanks to New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. And I was telling Ida during the break, she was asking about this show and if we do it every week, and that's something that we started this year. And when you guys are on the road, we do different things. Mike Fisher was in here, so it's been really cool to be able to put this together and have something like this every week, and really appreciate you all for being here tonight. So this is the portion of the program, Hal, where we don't talk as much hockey, but more about the people. And so you two have been together for how long now? We'll start that. The game to know you.
Yeah, it was a hard
question.
You
want to answer separately?
Yes.
Exactly. That's
it was quite funny, actually, because I met Matthias when I was covering... So I was a sports broadcaster before I moved here to the States. And I was working. I was covering ice hockey for a TV channel back home in Sweden. And I was covering the World Championship in Czech Republic. That was 2015. And I met Matthias, and I actually, from the very beginning, I was working with a charity project back home in Sweden, so I needed like athletes' old sports equipment so I can auction that out, and that's why I went after Matthias, because I was like, I need your stick, I need all of that, and we just
equipment.
And we started to be very good friends, and eventually it was like the only guy I had on my mind was Matthias, and
what a pickup
after
line.
That I know. So, and eventually, so that was kind of crazy too. So I went to my boss 6 months before I told my boss that I was moving. My boss, he told me that you are the upcoming star for this TV channel. We're going to do whatever it takes to make you like our star. And 6 months after, I was like, hey, I'm quitting. I'm moving to Nashville. So it was kind of, that was a really like just a weird situation for me too, from like being on the TV station and move here to Nashville and be with Matthias. So,
had you been to the States before that?
I had. I was actually studying here for a couple of months before that when I was still in high school, but I had never been to Nashville, and Tennessee overall was totally new for me too. So I had never been in this area before, but I love it. I love Nashville. It's a really, really good city.
So on an off day, you guys are hanging around. Say, let's just say For starters, William is at home.
Yes.
Where would you guys go? Where do you hang out? Is there a restaurant that you probably your favorite spot?
We haven't been to a restaurant in 2 years. He is intense, this guy. So, and he's usually, it's funny, he'll finish his meal in like a minute and a half, you know? So it's like, okay, you take him to start, I'll finish mine, and then we can feed him, and then you'll eat. No, but we like to go to 12 South. They have a nice park there with a playground for him. We'll bring a coffee or two, and then we can sit down a little bit, see him play around. We've been there a couple times. Our nanny goes with him to different gym classes. We try to be outside a lot. We like being out, especially the weather's been so great this year with hardly any rain, and it's just been sunny and nice out. So,
yeah.
And a lot of the parks get visited a lot, and if we just don't go out of our... We have really good neighbors, two kids, and we can go over there, and William loves hanging with them and gives us a little break. It's funny, their son is, I think he's 7 years old right now, and he is the biggest sports dude ever. Like, he plays football, baseball, soccer, everything. So, and the mom and the family, she loves William, like little kids, like all that kind of stuff. So usually I'll walk over there. Yeah. She'll take William and play with him, and he loves her. And I'll go out and throw the football with Griffin.
That's cool.
So, we're really blessed to have that kind of neighbors.
What is the balance like? Because obviously you're on the road a lot. Your schedule is tough with practice and then games here, and then you're at home and doing everything, and you have the podcast that you're doing now and a young son. So how difficult is it? And Hal, I know you've been through all this, to balance the work life and the home life and try and do the best at both.
It's actually funny that you mentioned that, just the word balance, because we were talking about it before here, and I think the word for 2020 is actually balance in life. And I think that every person needs balance between work, being with your family, have your own time, and all of that. And that is really, really hard in this situation with this lifestyle, because the guys are on the road so much, and for me as a mom, it takes a lot on, like, I have a huge responsibility from, like, let everything at home works. And for me, sometimes it could be a really challenge because I am so driven. I want to work. I want to have that balance in my life between being a mom, being a supportive wife, and do my own thing. So I have started off to write some children's book, and eventually I will write for grown-ups too, but so I do that, and we have a person who's helping us out with William, so I get my time a couple of days a week, so I do that. And we try to live as normal as we can, even if it's hard. But we really, really try to find that balance, even if it's, it's really, really hard to balance it up.
It is. You can tell you've been through it. You don't feel like the greatest dad every time you're on the road, and you know you're leaving the house, and kid is yelling, and you know the mom hasn't got sleep in how long, and all that. So it's all about that. I think that's the balance is a great word, but it's in this lifestyle, it's really hard.
But Eki, when you get home, you're the greatest dad again.
Oh, I know, right? And then, everything gets so lopsided, so it's... It's difficult, but I think we're managing. I think we're learning. I mean, it's obviously our first kid, and last year I think it took a lot of energy out of us because we kind of didn't know how to react and handle everything, and then me being gone so much and putting so much in your hands when it comes to the house and the household, and then wanting to do your stuff. So it's...
And I think that was also, like, for me, I was not really prepared before I met Matthias. Even if I've been covering the sport for such a long time, it's like I didn't really understood how much it takes on you as a woman in the family, and obviously the guys too. But it's like I think that if you're gonna make it work, you just have to realize what kind of role you have in the family during this period in your life. So now I'm just trying to, I will never find that balance that I'm looking for, but maybe I can go as close as we can to it. So I at least can finish my children's book, and I have achieved something while I'm being here and doing the podcast. But I think you have to just realize the guys are gone so crazy much. So if I would go on as much as I did back home in Sweden, William would grow up without parents, and we don't want that to happen. Right. So it's like you have to realize how it is in this lifestyle and just figure it out afterwards and do the best.
Tell us about the podcast and what you think of how it's gone so far. I'm amazed by it. I think it's a side of the sport that really no one has seen. And of course, my wife is intrigued by it. And
yeah, we will definitely have her.
Everyone is so aware of what Matthias is doing and what the players are doing.
Yeah.
But there's a whole other side to every
story. And also, it's kind of the whole, this work, like being a hockey player in the NHL, I feel like, and what it comes with it, both for the players but also for the families, I believe that sometimes we are underrated this work. Overall, because it's like I've been covering this sport for such a long time, and I didn't realize what it really takes. I've been hearing so much about laser hockey players that are just playing video games during the days, and now after me and Matthias met, I started to realize that it's so much more than that. Like, the guys are coming home in the middle of the night. They have to go up in the morning after. They have to go to practice. They are exhausted. They are tired. They have to go to another game the next day. In Sweden, in the regular season, they have 55 games from September till April. Here, they have it from October to March. Yeah. 82 games. It's crazy. It takes a lot on you as a player. It takes a lot on you as a family member. And that is something I feel that sometimes the audience, the people who are going to the game, they don't really understand that. So that's why I wanted to start it up, this podcast, and just show more of this world that you see. Because it's so easy today that what you post on Instagram, that is just fancy house, fancy cars, and all that. But it's so much more than that.
And there's also another life.
Yes.
It's not just hockey. You have to, and that was hard when I had kids for the first time.
Yeah.
I had to realize that I can't be upset about my game all night. I have a kid that's going to wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, I have to it's a game changer.
Yeah.
It's you have really have to find out what your priorities are.
Yeah. You know? And that's what I feel too, like when it comes to at our home too, like how much should we spend time on talking hockey, is that we try to do a thing that after the games, because obviously both me and Matthias, we are so competitive and it's so easy to like get stuck into certain games, and especially when they're losing or playing bad. But we try to have a rule at home where we don't talk hockey more than like 30 minutes after the games. We try to like close it. Okay, is there anything you could have done differently? And then we like going over that and try to move forward.
Especially if my dad or her dad is over, because they can talk hockey for hours or days.
Like they can. It's
they can
seriously
go into details where you get crazy at times.
3 days after, they're like, hey, let's talk about that hit against the game.
In Sweden, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have, and you're coming from Sweden, playing in Sweden, you have more of a break between games, right? I mean, you're playing two or three kind of around the weekend, and then you have the break for the week.
It's a lot less games. Obviously, you take 30 games out of the schedule.
Yeah.
You'd imagine how our schedule would look like with 30 less games. It would be a lot more relaxed. But, I think on average you have maybe Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays you're playing.
Right.
Then, I mean, I think two times before Christmas and one time after, you have these national team breaks where you're off for a week just completely. I mean, you obviously work out, but you don't have any games. So it's a lot more time for recovery. And obviously the travel isn't nearly the same, you know. I mean, we travel three time zones and a lot, you know. So that'll wear your body down too. So it's a lot more challenging. And I think that's what you see. I mean, you see Elias Pettersson in Vancouver, how good he's doing. But he was doing awesome last. If you look at his numbers last year, up until like game 65, that last 20, 18 games, it's hard.
Literally separating the men from the boys.
It's kind of what it is. You have to learn your way. It's not easy. You gotta mentally prepare for that.
Well, Hal, I've heard you use the phrase the dog days of February when you get to that point in the schedule where it's just.
I called it my wife. You'll like this. My wife called it the retirement phase. This is it. It's my last year. I can't do this anymore. You know, you go through where it's right after Christmas and. Yeah. And all the excitement around Christmas and the All-Star break, and then you get into February, and you're not quite watching the standings as close. There's like a 2-3 week where it's just dark and it's tough.
Yeah.
And that's I feel like, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, that's the hardest time for a wife, I think. Am I right?
Yeah.
Because
yes, 100%.
You know, you want to see them happy. You want to see them happy and engaged and. Nothing has changed for you. You're still doing the same thing.
Exactly.
But Matthias is coming home dragging.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also remember so much from, I actually have a picture of Matthias when during the Stanley Cup final 2017 when he is sitting in just shorts. We're sitting outside and he, like, literally he's made of skin and bones. He's got a broken rib. He looks like the guy in Castaway, like with his beard and all that. It's crazy. And when I look at that picture, it's also a reminder of what it really takes. Like, it you can't go there. And especially today, I feel like all the kids, they get so many, like, all the what they see on Instagram and social media is just quick results. That's what they see.
Yeah.
And when I think about that and when I think about what the guys are doing and the families are doing, it's like, there's no quick results. You have to work for it. You have to work really, really hard to get that cup. It's like, it takes so much on you to go the whole way and do all that. And I think that is very important to just point it out and be like, be clear about that and just show off the whole picture, not just the good part of it.
It is Smashville Live. We're here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. When we come back, we're going to the audience. You guys have to ask some questions to Matthias and Ida. So we're going to send Gina from Promotions. She's right here. She's going to come out there with a microphone and take some questions. And also, you can register to win a pair of tickets to Saturday night's game. I hear that's a big deal because somebody's coming back to Smashville. So definitely go register to win for tickets to Saturday's game. Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Let's hear a round of applause. Matthias and Ida in the house. Hal, you're here. I'm here. Nobody cares about us. Well, maybe you. It is Smashville Live.
We care about you, Chase.
Thank you so much. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. Remember, if you're in the house tonight, you can register to win a pair of tickets to Saturday's game against the New Jersey Devils. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But before we get to the audience, I want to ask you, Matthias, do you have any superstitions on game day, or are they more just a routine that you go through getting ready for a game?
Depends.
And then I'm going to ask Ida if you're telling the truth.
Yeah, depends on who you ask, I guess. I've been taking some heat from Yosi and Ellis lately. They're thinking I have a lot. And I think I do have a lot, but I don't think I see them as superstitions. I do think I more see them as my routine of getting ready for a hockey game. And I do the same thing every time. And I don't think I'm that kind of guy that Yossi will always implement that. What would happen if it doesn't go that way? Or if you don't do that, can you not play? Whatever. But it's not like that. It's just a matter of getting a habit. And, I mean, 82 games again. If you have some certain routine, I think it gets your body to know that it's go time. And I'm trying to do the same things. I mean, if you go through them, it's a lot,
right?
Obviously. But, I mean, we eat at the same spot. You sit at the same spot. You have the same meal. You go home. You usually take a nap. And nowadays, before they were a lot, before I met Ida, they were a lot just exactly the same. Now it's different because we have William and we have a life to take care of and a house and all that. But they try to, they're great. They usually let me sleep at least an hour. I usually do that to kind of catch up and go to the game, and then I do the same things down there too. So it's, I don't know if it's superstitions or if it's just my habit.
Well, let me ask you, when you lose, do you change them?
No.
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 So it's just.
But he changed suits, though. So if he's losing in one suit, he's not wearing that to the next game.
You have a lucky tie, a lucky suit.
Not in particular. I mean, if we get on a real heater, I might stick with the same suit. Yeah, but not like if we lose, I have to change. No, I'll just take whatever's clean, pretty much.
How were you superstitious?
I was very similar. I played with a lot of guys, and I always laugh at Sidney Crosby. I came off after warm-up, and I know your warm-up routine is pretty meticulous. You
knock the pucks off, right?
I am the puck guy.
You're the puck guy.
Yeah, I am.
But you're very particular on where you put the pucks and how you do everything.
So
you could appreciate this. I was playing in Pittsburgh, and Sidney Crosby came off after warm-up, and he's like, "What was that all about?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "You didn't pass it to Malkin on the second lap." And I said, I don't know if I missed it. And he goes, "Yeah, well, I wait for you to pass it to Malkin, and then I pass it to this guy." And I ruined his superstition or routine. Matthias, I got to be honest with you. I think our routine, and I always answered the same question. I think it's a superstition. It's a little, it's maybe not superstitious. It's just a little stitious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're the puck guy on the team on the warm-ups, you right away noticed whoever is superstitious. They get mad at you when that kind of stuff happens.
Real quick. My puck wasn't there at 13:01.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some guys are particular about it, and if they see something happen that I screw up, I miss a pass, whatever, I'll hear it.
I was doing something before a game, and they had already set the pucks up, and I was down on the bench, and somebody was like, "If you knock these down, like, you're getting kicked out of the building, because Matthias is going to come find you, because that's his thing. Don't touch the pucks." So I learned that a few years ago.
That's a National League, though. That's like, there's nothing better than playing, and you have the camera taking and whacking it with your hand and knocking the pucks off. That's the best.
Let's go to Gina. Let's go to Gina in promotions and take some questions from our audience. Gina, who you have?
Okay, so I got a question from Twitter. This is from SD Joey. Matthias, what adjustments have you made playing with Fabro versus playing with Subban, and how do you think the transition is going?
Good question. Yeah, it's two complete different players. First of all, PK is more experienced. Fabro is getting into the league. They're both great players. I think with PK, it was more he knew the way he played the game. He knew the way he's successful and been successful for years. So it was more a matter of us finding the chemistry and go from there. Here we have a guy that's been in the league for, 30 games or something like that, and he's trying to find his way. I'm just trying to – I think – what I've seen as of late, I mean, now we're 25 games into the season. Game 5, he was all quiet. He didn't, I said something, he'll be like, yes, yes, never said no, never said anything. And now as of late, he'll come to me and like, let's do that play. Let's do this. He's taken, I think he has a lot more poise with the puck. I think we're doing a lot more with it instead of just throwing it away, which is huge as a defenseman if you can control the play a little bit more, control the game. And I think for being a rookie, he's handled himself tremendously, and he's a great player. And I think we're doing better and better each game that goes by.
He does a lot of video with McCarthy, mm-hmm. Coach McCarthy. Do you do any video with him, or do you kind of let the coaches handle that.
Yeah. Or it's do funny. You, Fabra gets all the
I'm not
video.
Saying do it with him, but like sit down and go over your shifts together.
Yeah, no, I don't actually. I know he does with Fabs, and I think Fabs likes that. I think that's a learning process for him, and he gets to actually see it out there and where he's supposed to go and all that. And Kato usually just comes up to me and tells me if there's any big issues, goals right. against, goals for, whatever we did great and not great. So we'll spend a couple minutes with feedback, but it's more. I think it's more for him than it is for me.
Right. Yeah. Gina, what you got?
All right. I've got my buddy Eric from Gallatin. Here he is.
So two-part question. First part for Ida. Do you have to give him some tough love at times here and be brutally honest with him? Or are you more just like the cheerleader? And the second part here is for Matias. I'm putting you on the spot, Matias, but if she does hear, how receptive are you to that feedback that she gives you?
Well, I'm not the cheerleader. I'm pretty honest about what I think about him as a player, him as a person, what he's doing out there, both on and off the ice. And I think that is what you should do when you are in like married with someone. Just help each other out and make each other like improve as both in your professionals but also as a person. So we talk about it a lot, but I also know that if Matias has made anything wrong on the ice, he's so aware of it. Like he comes home and he's like, oh, that was not a good game, and he's so frustrated over things he had done out there. So I think that sometimes I know when I'm like I don't have to say anything. In some situations, I know that I have to be supportive because he's been doing things on the ice that I just have to like support him so he can move forward and look like into the next game instead. But I would definitely say if I think that he is doing something not good and he thinks he's been doing something good. So yeah, that's how I am. Am I wrong or?
I definitely doesn't get away with anything. That's
no,
for sure, but that's good. And with the background you have, you know the kind of game we play and how it's like. So I like the feedback. I like the just to kind of get rid of the game. It's better to talk about it than just sitting with it and thinking about it yourself. I feel like it's nice to just get it out of the way, talk about it for a little bit, and then it's all good. We're family again, like family time, whatever. So it can be hard sometimes because I can come home and I can be down on something and she'll be like, come on, what are you talking about? Stop that, whatever. And then I'll be like, yeah, that's probably true. So it's a give and take kind of thing. Sometimes that happens with her when she's coming home. She doesn't think she's done good with the writing or the podcast or something went wrong. I'm trying to be honest with you too. So I'd rather have that than just somebody that will cheer you on. Even I know when I've done bad out there, so I don't need to hear that. Well, you did that good or whatever. It's like, no, I did that bad, and that's going to happen. But you just got to look forward and move on.
Yeah. Honesty always the best policy. It is Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South tonight. Chase McCabe, Hal Gill, Matias Ekholm, and wife Ida, all brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. We will come right
so
back
good.
And
so
set
good.
You up for the New Jersey Devils on Saturday night.
Yeehaw.
And we're back, Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5. The game streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Hal Gill, Matias Ekholm, and his wife Ida. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. So we'll be drawing for tickets here in just a second. But as we wrap things up, New Jersey comes to town, and let's talk about it. Matias Ekholm, you're Matias Ekholm. PK Subban.
He's right there.
Yeah, he's right there. I'm tired. It's been a long day. PK Subban makes his return after 3 years with you guys, and you played right alongside him for those 3 years. I know a lot of relationships were built. He met a lot to the team. So what's Saturday going to be like for you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like I've had a partner earlier that has gone or for that long and that left the team. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be special, I think, for sure. But at the same time, we've moved on. It's going to be a game where we need points desperately, and they do as well. So at the end of the night, it's going to be a hockey game. But it'll be fun to see him, fun to catch up a little bit and see what's up. And he seems to have a lot going for him still, so it's it'll be fun.
And Wayne Simmons on that team as well, and Tom Fitzgerald, the first captain, is the assistant GM, and Peter Horacek, former assistant coach, just named an assistant coach with them. So, and look, they've gone through a coaching change. They made that this week. So I would expect that you guys are thinking a desperate team coming in, and you're going to have to be on your A game.
Big time. Yeah, that's usually what happens when you get that coaching change. It's going to be a boost to start with both energy that we talked about earlier and just the way that they handle themselves and execution and all that. It's just going to put to its maximum. So hopefully we can match that. Hopefully we can get a win because, I mean, we need it as much as they do.
Will you? I know you don't want to break your routine, superstition, but will you try and stay on last in warm-ups just to give it to PK?
Is that him? Does he have that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, I always just I jump off on the 0 second left, so he can be late or he can be last. I don't really give much about that.
Was it weird for you, Hal, when you would leave one place and go back and for the first time, or is it just, you know, you say hi to the guys and then just do your thing?
It was weird for me, but as soon as I got into that routine, my warm-up, I was checked out. That was the last thing on my mind. Now, PK, you know, when you saw him when you went to Montreal, he was crying a river on the blue line, you know, like he was emotionally invested in it. So I assume he's going to have some emotional attachment. Do you think there's going to be a lot of chirping?
I don't know. I think so. Between the players, you mean?
Between PK and the boy. And that's what I always found amusing is now that the guy's on another team, some guys would come out and just because you know all their weaknesses,
and you
start pushing buttons and in the end you want to win a game.
Yep, big time.
Do you think any of that'll go on?
It's probably
I hope so.
It's kind of like one of those things where it's like in the start where you have the lineup and everything and you say hi whatever, but then when the puck drops it's like it's go time and we'll do whatever it takes to get a win. So if that means that some guy will try to challenge him one-on-one or whatever, I don't think anyone will be afraid to.
I love it. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I hate that we're out of time, but the hour flies by. Ida, thank you so much for being here. Matthias, I know we took you away from William tonight, but we really appreciate you guys being here. For Hal Gill, I'm Chase McCabe. Thank you again to Brewhouse South here in Cool Springs, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. We're going to draw tickets to Saturday's game right now. Matthias will do the honors.
How many?
Just one.
Jonathan Perdue.
Jonathan Perdue is the winner.
Purdy.
So he is going to Saturday's game against the New Jersey Devils. That's going to do it for us. Stick around. Penalty Box Radio is next.